You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Have pity on us, Mother, and heal the wounds of our souls. Remove the sorrow and worries of our souls. Console us in our day of suffering. Enlighten us by your wisdom. Show us your mercy, Mother, and pray for us. Turn our sadness into true joy. Fill our hearts with your sweetness and make us forget the miseries of this life. Be gracious to your children. And do not allow them to be overcome in their temptations. You are glorious, Mother, and most worthy of praise, in the city of our God and in the church of His elect. You were assumed into heaven, accompanied by angelic choirs, borne up by archangels, and crowned with glory. Have pity on us, Queen of glory and honor, and keep our souls from all danger. As our prayer rises up to your throne, hear our humble pleas. St. Bonaventure, in the year 1274. Welcome, brothers and sisters. Thank you again, as always, after the Holy Mass, to join us here on the Father's Quilt. So, brothers and sisters, you know, I know we've embarked now into the fourth week of Lent, and many of us, you know, a lot of us actually are suffering, and not everything is hunky-dory, so to speak. You know, according to an old saying, you know, suffering can make you better or bitter. And it's indeed, I know, it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, suffering can bring us closer to God. But on the other hand, it can move us further away from Him. It all depends on what we do with the suffering that comes our way. Do you run to Him or do you run away from Him? Padre Pio used to say that everybody in life has a cross. And my gosh, I truly believe that. The important thing, he said, is to use the cross like the good thief and not like the bad thief, like somebody, something stealing from you. The two thieves who were crucified with Jesus, Saint Dismas is the name traditionally given to the good thief, were so close to Jesus that they could talk with him. Gesma, as the bad thief, is sometimes called, said, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." And you'll find that in Luke chapter 23. This man, he was angry at his fate, and he wouldn't acknowledge his sins. Unfortunately, his bitter situation hardened his heart. In contrast, grace was at work in Dismas. Initially, both thieves mocked Christ, but something happened that changed one. I think Dismas was transformed by the first words of Jesus from the cross. Do you remember them, brothers and sisters? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We know from sources that people, ancient sources, that people crucified by the Romans cursed their executioners from the cross, right? They would, obviously, right? Sometimes it became so bad that the Romans would cut out their tongues. And yet, far from cursing, far from calling down evil, what does Jesus do? He pleads with the Father to forgive his tormentors. In that moment, in the light offered by Christ as he was dying, I believe that Dismas saw his own sinfulness, and in that light he saw his own darkness. And this is what suffering can do. If you embrace it properly, it can enlighten us and it can humble us. To be humble is simply to know and accept the truth about ourselves. Dismas allowed his suffering to reveal the truth, to humble him, and when it did, he encountered the mercy of Christ. You know, I'm going to divert a little bit, but in Bible study, we had been talking about the book of Ephesians, and of course, it's written, well, most scholars believe it is written by Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was once Saul, right, who hated the Gentiles, who did everything in his power and killed many. I mean, had many killed, stoned, and sent into prison, right? And when he wrote the epistle of the Ephesians to Ephesus, to the people of Ephesus, he was in prison. He, not a nice-looking prison, I'm talking in those times, imagine a very cold, damp prison full of whatever, bugs and mice and rats and just the worst place you'd ever want to ever imagine. That's where Paul wrote the epistle to the Ephesians. And never was there a more humble apostle than Paul. Paul experienced that conversion, that transformation from being this horrible individual who just did everything in his power, and he did carry out quite a bit of executions of Gentiles. He hated them. And then when Jesus brought him right to the ground, when God brought him right to the ground and blinded him, and he had to be led through the streets. And finally, when he humbled himself to the point where he knew his own crosses, that is when God Almighty opened his eyes. And he had a fire in his body, a fire for Jesus. He had a fire for the gospel. He wanted to, and what does he do? He goes right back to those people that he said, yeah, come on, let's go kill those Gentiles. And now here he is trying to protect them and talking about the gospel and talking about a risen Christ. Imagine how they looked at him. Right? So Dismas, knowing himself to be a sinner, turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Dismas believed that Jesus, who seemed so helpless on the cross, could do something for him. And the Lord did, giving him the most beautiful promise in the gospel. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Dismas allowed his suffering to lead him to the great mercy of God. You know, the example of him helps us avoid the anger and the bitterness and the self-pity that often accompany suffering, leading us to even worse sins, such as violence and injustice and betrayal. When suffering comes, we must refuse to be embittered, to become embittered, and we must root out any resentment we have. On the other hand, accepting suffering can make us better. And you think, what? How is that even possible? Well, you have suffered, no doubt, brothers and sisters. All of my listeners have suffered in some way, and maybe you are suffering today. We all have suffered. We've all got a cross to carry. There isn't anyone on this earth who doesn't have a cross to bear. People who have suffered well, maintaining a good attitude, are often more patient with the shortcomings of other people. Because why? Well, they've been there. They know the struggle. They know what it feels like. Suffering can foster compassion. You know, nevertheless, embracing a cross is difficult. Saint Teresa of Avila, however, says that once you embrace your cross, it's no longer a cross. This is because the most difficult thing about a cross is that we don't want it. But once we accept it and embrace it, it is no longer bitter and unwanted. Saint Francis of Assisi put great emphasis on his encounter with a leper. Francis found lepers so repulsive that he couldn't bear to be near those who lived in the valley around Assisi. Whenever he met a leper on the road, he would ride away, holding his nose against the stench and averting his eyes from the nauseating sight. It doesn't sound too distant from how people treat others, whether it's color, whether it's religion, whether it's age, whether they're educated or uneducated, whether they live in a different part of town. Every one of us has been a Francis of Assisi at one point. But once his conversion was underway, he made Jesus a promise. He promised that he would do whatever the Lord asked. So listen, don't ever make a promise unless you mean it, right? Unless you're willing, unless you're really serious about it. You know, you could pray for 25 years for someone's conversion and never see the slightest sign of progress. But if you tell the Lord that you will do anything he wants, I promise you this, within 24 hours, you will be tested in your prayer. You will be tested in your prayer. Francis was soon tested. He was out riding one day without warning, and there on the road, right in front of him, a leper. Francis wanted to do what he always had done, leave. But this time it was different. The Holy Spirit spoke to him in his heart, and he told him, you know, he must overcome himself. He must come to see what he thought was bitter was actually really sweet. And Francis, in obedience, got off his horse, walked over to this leper who had his hand out for alms, and overcoming the aversion he must have felt, embraced the leper. He then put some coins in the leper's hands, and to show that he had fully accepted this poor and unfortunate man, he kissed his hand. When he got back on his horse and turned around, lo and behold, the leper was gone. As Mother Teresa said so often, Jesus comes to us in the most distressing disguise of the poorest of poor. And that's who Francis met on the road that day, Jesus in the distressing disguise of the poorest of the poor. Saint Francis said that after that, my gosh, his heart was filled with a sweetness that never left him. In fact, he went and worked among the lepers and even cured some of them miraculously. And later on, when other brothers joined his order, Saint Francis assigned each brother to a leper so that they would learn by taking care of that person what he had learned by embracing the leper that day. When we struggle, brothers and sisters, with embracing our own crosses, I know, it's like Francis embracing that leper. It seems so bitter, doesn't it? But once we embrace that cross, somehow, the Holy Spirit can change our hearts. and even bring a sweetness to the experience, not because it is beautiful in itself, but because Jesus sent it to us. We are being purified when we embrace that cross, because it makes us follow Christ more completely. There is, brothers and sisters, I'm not here to boast about my suffering, but I know what suffering tastes like. I have tasted it for a long, long time. Maybe too long. It has never left me. But I do know one thing. When I'm feeling that pinch, that anxiety, that doubt, that fear, I run to Jesus. I run to Jesus as fast as my disabled legs take me. And I pray with all my heart. And down come the tears of gratitude that I can approach the throne with boldness, with confidence, and say, Lord Jesus, here I am. I need your help. And I believe that Jesus will help me. You know, like a child comes to his mother, Mommy, please help me put on my coat. He knows in his heart of hearts, his mom will help him. If he's struggling with the zipper, his mom will get that zipper on his snow coat and put it up and he's fine. He knows. And that's what we must come. We must come like children to Jesus and trust Almighty Father. That Father, God is looking after all his children. You are his child. You are his beautiful daughter who he adores and loves more than anyone else on this earth, brothers and sisters, more than anyone else. He loves you. He loves you as a son. He loves you as a son loves. A father who loves his son, who adores his son, who loves his son, who cherishes his son, who wants only the best for his children. This is how we must approach the throne. When we go beyond ourselves, we achieve something of a measure of purification. There is no doubt. St. John tells us that God is love. And when we break out of the self-love of our comfort zone and reach out to others, we imitate God and do what he is calling us to do. Love tends to give itself. And God, God Almighty, is always giving himself. If we are to become children of God, we have to go against the grain and reach out to others in compassion, patience, and service. Doing so is not only purifying, it will also make our charity increase. As we've already seen, Saint Therese used to say, the food of real love is sacrifice. And once we understand and accept that role of suffering in the spiritual life, it does take time. Even the apostles went through various stages on their way to accepting the teaching of Christ about the cross. Saint Augustine said that there are many Christians who can practice virtue and resist temptations. These are beginners who are learning how to overcome the temptations that had separated them from God. And then he said, there are Christians who do good, practicing the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. For example, but he says, many are not yet ready to suffer. That takes something more, a spiritual maturity that most often comes in stages. Imagine, it takes several stages to attain spiritual maturity. Are we surprised by that? No, of course not. Of course not. We see these stages unfold in the lives of the apostles. First, there is the beginners in the life of their faith. Every time the Lord mentioned the cross, they couldn't deal with it, the apostles. And like most beginners encountering difficulties, they expressed some degree of patience, but basically they just wanted their troubles to just go away as fast as possible. Well, Who on this earth says, put up there, oh, I just love to suffer. I love suffering. I love pain. I love my Tylenol round the clock. I love my Valium. I love my Lorazepam. I love my tranquilizer. No, of course not, brothers and sisters. None of us. But here's the important thing, brothers and sisters, is if your doctor prescribes something, follow your doctor's orders. Follow your doctor's orders. The gospel shows us clearly that they, the apostles, got very impatient and even angry at people who annoyed them. For example, some of the apostles were probably among those who told the blind man, remember, Bartimaeus, to keep quiet when he cried out to our Lord for help as Jesus was walking by. Remember? They complained to our Lord about the Canaanite woman who was also crying out to our Lord in desperate need of his help. They scolded the mothers and the children who were coming to Jesus for his blessing, and even, would you believe, even tried to stop them. James and John even wanted our Lord to call down fire and brimstone on a Samaritan village that wouldn't welcome him, for which our Lord nicknamed them sons of thunder. The apostles ended up very holy, but at this point, my goodness, they had a long way to go in their spiritual journey. The apostles then enter a second stage of growth, the acceptance of suffering. See, brothers and sisters, the reason for these broadcasts is to reach out to you, that you are never alone as you walk through this journey. You are never, ever alone. And Jesus understands your pain. God knows what you're going through. He knows your plan. He knows what's supposed to happen. So just trust him. But when Jesus was put to death on the cross and rose again, the apostles' attitude changed. All their hope in Jesus had been set on an earthly kingdom in Israel. When our hearts are set on the things of this world, we can't come close to the true kingdom of God. It's not until our hopes for this world are shattered that we really finally understand Jesus' mind and heart. But God has a way of helping people become free so that the world no longer attracts them. And he said, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. My friends, you cannot serve God and man. Okay? You cannot serve both. And think about what you worship, what you idol, what's very important to you. Maybe have a second look or a third look and say to yourself, really, what is most important in my life? You know something? As we all learn, and we do, as we all learn to let go of the world in terms of material things and what goes on around us, we can embrace Jesus and see what he is calling us to as we let go of the world. Jesus then starts to attract us. This is what happened to the apostles when Jesus died on the cross and their hopes for an earthly kingdom were shattered. There is no greater joy for me as a volunteer here on Radio Maria Canada that I, Christina Doyle, could bring one soul closer to Jesus than I am ever so humbled and so grateful that God used me to bring more souls to Christ. And when if you have heard the message, you've heard the scripture, you've heard God's word, then do not harden your heart, my friend. Do not harden your heart. Open it up to the immense and immeasurable riches and possibilities that can only come through God Almighty, through the Holy Spirit. These are the graces that God gives us. And use them, whatever gifts you have, may it be for the greater good, for the glory of God, so that we can sing his praises, so that all the glory goes to him. Every good thing comes from him, and everything goes to him, brothers and sisters. When we resign to suffering, well, guess what? You don't become so resentful anymore. Those bitter feelings actually die down big time. And you quit rehearsing in your mind all the negative things that you've experienced that keep the hurt alive. You start shedding that. You know, I know I had been hurt, oh my gosh, many years ago. And after everything had passed, that bitterness kind of stayed with me. And dare I say that when I heard that if that person was suffering, I was kind of glad? Isn't that awful? But that's the truth. And until I accepted what that person had done to me and let go and forgive them in my heart and forgive them in my prayers, that's when the healing in my body, in my spirit took place. And that's when I found joy. That's when you find joy. If you think you are, you're lying to yourself. You have to let go. Forgiveness, acceptance of any kind of suffering. And then you will see a transformation. You know, you can't destroy the old tapes that play in your mind by accepting your situation and making your peace. It's hard on your own, brothers and sisters. Don't think I did it on my own, because that would be very far from the truth. But resignation means that you accept the fact that there were difficulties in your life and things didn't go the way you wanted. But you choose not to live the rest of your life with negative feelings. You've got to move on. That is what it means to make peace with your past and your present. Resigned it to what the Lord has sent and maybe is still sending you. You embrace the disappointments and hurts and deal with them as best you can through the Holy Spirit. You mustn't forget that this is not a job that a person can do on their own. You need faith. You need to put your trust in God, and you need to humbly come before Him at the cross and ask God to help you with it. And brothers and sisters, it isn't going to happen just like that. It's not going to happen in a minute or so or a month. We don't know. But if you keep persisting and you keep praying, God answers prayer and God hears you. So my dear friends, with that in mind, as we continue this broadcast and continue next time on suffering and how we get over it, let's continue, and let's just say a Hail Mary, shall we, before we leave. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. God bless each and every listener. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. If I had